Oh yeah, let's talk about our cats. We start the season introducing ourselves. You know, it's Sarah, Dan, Austin, and Quinn. But now it's the cats. Obviously, Bjork is my cat. She's a beautiful beast and a complete psychopath who wants to kill all other cats.
My cat's name is Ragtime. I've had him for almost 5 years now. We got him like right before the pandemic. He's a perfect boy. He's the best boy in the entire world, and he's got like a weird scuff on his eye from when he was like a baby, like before we adopted him. But it's fine. It doesn't like hurt him. He just has special eyes.
Aw. Mine is Professor Peanuts. He's very, very sweet. He's also very demanding. He doesn't care about my emotions. I ran out of wet food one night, so I had to only give him dry food, and he spent, according to Pokemon Sleep, he spent the entire night biting me. I've never woken up to my Pokemon Sleep being like, "I don't think you were asleep at all last night,"
Oh my God.
technically.
And of course, I have my new cat, Miss Tootsie. She's 2 years old. We got her from a friend of my girlfriend Maya, who recently had a baby, so she just didn't have the time or energy to take care of her anymore. She is the sweetest animal I've ever encountered within like 5 minutes. She was basically like, "Yeah, I've lived here forever and love you too, unconditionally."
Aww.
Now, there is a slight problem we have encountered after 3 weeks of having her. We were
Oh,
under.
she's trying to sign you up for like MLMs or something like that. She said like Herbalife.
No, that was a different one of Maya's coworkers. She isn't spayed, and she is currently sexually harassing me specifically, near constantly for the last 72 hours. And I got a notice from my girlfriend, who said, "She ushy gushied on the floor. I put a sock over it."
Oh my God!
That's the worst way I think I've ever heard anyone say that.
So Tootsie's a bard. I think Bjork is a barbarian. Professor Peanuts, this is an interesting one, because he loves to bite and chew. That's like fighter-coded behavior, I think.
But he is also quite intelligent and a bitch, so I feel like a wizard might also fit.
Ragtime, I believe me and my partner Charlie agreed he's either a rogue or a ranger. I forget which one.
Have you considered, Quinn, that maybe Professor Peanuts is just a lizard folk and has a bite attack?
Or he's a druid and he just wild shapes into a cat to bite and then wild shapes back into a person cat to watch and judge from afar, as he does.
To go teach at the university.
That is something I wasn't prepared for compared to rabbits who don't have, like, binocular predator vision. Tootsie stares directly into your soul at all times.
Oh,
It is
yeah.
often very loving, but currently it's making me deeply uncomfortable.
Speaking of druids, at the end of the last episode, at the downtime, Stranger, you turned into like an animal and you ate a ghost. So I don't know what we're doing at this point, but Hialeah definitely wants to start this episode asking you, "Hey, how come you could bite ghosts?"
Well, as you know, at level 6, druids gain magical attacks.
I did not know that. I'll write that down. In universe, though, my friend.
Okay, what would the justification stranger give here? Back home, the undead aren't a uncommon thing to encounter, so one must find ways to deal with them when face to face or claw to ectoplasm.
I don't have any ectoplasm questions. I just still feel kind of bad about what happened. But like, I apologize. We're gonna move forward from it. That child will find that secret gold or whatever someday.
Might we take a moment to rest? So I need to clean off this child's grandfather off of myself.
Ah.
Oh my God. Behind you, you will see that Parks, the robot, is kind of like nervously standing behind you with his little robot hands kind of clasped together, like he's just patiently waiting for you all to finish.
Oh, yeah. Lillian did, like, I forget how far we got into this questioning, but Lillian did want to ask Parks, like, why exactly do we need gas masks for this next vibe check?
Oh, very good. You're perhaps done with disturbing the remains of the departed and bringing ghosts about. We can talk to the matter at hand.
Yeah.
That sounded condescending. I really do like you guys. I have a poor way of speaking sometimes.
No, it was my fault.
I think your voice just sounds like that. It's understandable.
Check your personality module when you speak to me. Looking around, see if there are any other remains I can knock on the floor.
give me a perception check.
Oh, no. You called my bluff. I have a +4 to perception, so that's okay. 22?
Yeah, there's an urn. It's right next to you. you don't even have to look far. You just, like, shift slightly to the right, and there's absolutely an urn right next to you.
Okay, Hylia doesn't push it on the floor because she's not a psychopath, but she jokingly acts as if she's going to just to see what the robot does in response because she's curious.
Oh! That's the sound the robot makes as he tries to run up to intercept you. But if you aren't knocking it over, he is just going to kind of pathetically stumble in place right in front of you.
All right, so it seems like we're filling this place with sort of ectoplasmic landmines. Parks, why don't we link up after this? Why don't we circle back to this, get something in your team schedule to go over, maybe a better system? Because it seems like people are just leaving these out here.
Well, you know, we do try to have a system in place, but of course, things are constantly changing here, you understand. New people, comings and goings, all the time people might show up. We get boats of new visitors every other day, it feels like.
How long are some of these body parts being kept here? Do we have a repository? What's being done? I'm mimicking your voice a little bit. That's bad.
No, I think you sound quite dashing and handsome.
Don't even worry about it, stranger. It happens to me all the time.
I feel like you sound quite debonair and sexy right now, so I appreciate it. I would say that we do try to keep the more sensitive remains under pristine conditions to ensure that they remain fruitful for when they eventually are hopefully brought food for resurrection. But ashes, as is returned in many urns, those tend to clutter up. It apparently is easier to bring a pile of ashes across the world than it is to carry a whole body, don't you know?
No. Believe me, I know that quite well.
Why do you know that quite well, stranger? Hold on, everyone shut up. How many bodies have you carried around, stranger?
I mean, stranger points to the human rib cage that he grew around. Where do you think these are coming from?
I don't know. The ribcage store?
Someone dies, we might need a corpse here or there to grow someone.
That is curious. I had a small question for you, Sir Stranger. Can you feel that body at all? Or, like, do you connect with its nerves, or is that just pure weight attached to your body at this point?
Well, it's sort of like, I guess, a skeleton that you might... Well, you don't have a skeleton. You're a Warforged. That doesn't really fit. Lillian, do you have bones?
Yeah, everyone, who has bones? Raise your hand.
Everyone with bones in this conversation, raise your hand. And no one will raise their hand.
No one raises their hand. I think Lillian, being a dryad, has like a... I forget. Like you know how trees... Like Hylia have, like, the fucking, like, water going up and down, and, like, plants have that too. I think that some kind of plant thing is going on inside a fair body. So no bones.
So instead of blood, you'd have like little vines or something, or like little, what is it? What's the thing they'd get from the sun? Chlor or something?
Chlorophyll?
Chlorophyll? Yeah, like little chlorophyll tubes or something like that.
Lillian like photosynthesizes as like kind of like a substitute for like going into a trance, and like drinks water and stuff. And like those are basically what keeps Fair going.
Yeah, I don't know if we needed to keep talking about this stuff right now, but I do have questions about all this. I was gonna,
I believe that we should probably get to the matter at hand, because I think we spent enough time talking about, what was it, bones and knocking stuff over?
Yes, I suppose I can answer your questions later. Now, where is this Stinkmeister, or what's happening, what's going on, where are they?
So you're going to be talking to Sir Buck, of course. He is a rather fungal-like person that you can find far outside of the gig, more towards another side of the island. It's a little bit of a trek, but of course, not too far. He doesn't want to miss his opportunity to be next up in line as he comes to visit. But usually you can smell when he's coming. It's a pungent odor, decay and rot.
Is that Sir Buck as a title? S-I-R?
Well, just Buck. I refer to everybody with honorifics when I can. So B-U-C-K is just the character name if you're working on a Wikipedia entry for this character or something like that.
Okay, do now, you have
I do gotta ask, is Buck going to be offended that we show up in gas masks?
Yes, but I would say Buck will be offended no matter how you show up. So keep that in mind. He is a private individual, a bit surly, doesn't stay at the gig because he doesn't like other people. Or he does like them, but he likes them in a very particular way, which is dying.
Well, it seems like he liked at least one person alive, considering he has someone on a list.
Yes, it is quite surprising to me as well, but hopefully that is something you can wrangle out of the good boy. You know how it, you know what I'm saying. Don't strangle him.
Why not?
Well, team, deep breaths and let us go meet our clientele.
If I could, I do have some quick messages I also meant to pass along to you earlier. There's been so much hubbub going around. I meant to mention that I have a message for your team. But do you have a name, by the way? Do you call yourselves anything?
I think we're the Vibe Checkers.
Yeah, I believe Mox said that.
Okay, I mean, you don't have to do anything Mox tells you to do if you don't want to. If you wanted to give yourself a cooler name, like Laser Team 7, I would understand.
Worm Squad 9.
You haven't seen Speaker Mox. If you had, you would understand. The man is simply dripping. His style is undeniable. We wouldn't fuck with that.
Well, it's very wet around here. I think most people are dripping.
Well, I received a message from Miss Killings, who's wanted to speak with you at your immediate convenience, is what she said.
Was that Miss Killings?
Yes, M-I-S-S, K-I-L-L-I-N-G-S.
That's what I thought. So do you have like a respect module that you have to call people Sir Buck and Miss Killings? Is that like a politeness protocol?
I just tried to be polite, you know? Sir Halia, you know? I want to treat everybody with respect.
Can you call me Big Papa?
Big Papa Halia, absolutely.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
I have to make a note.
All right, let's throw our hands in the air. We're true players. Let's go.
Hold on, I'm not done. I'm giving you quests, goddammit.
Wait, you're trying to fill up our quest log?
Yeah, hold on.
Strangers going around clicking on everything to obtain all the quests and then determine what the most operative route to complete them is.
Parks will continue and say,
also, Fair Dumas has returned to the land of the living. it was something Speaker Mox used to do, is to usually greet them, as new arrivals tend to be a little disoriented. So if you're able to find some time in your very busy schedules, I'm sure the young one would appreciate a little greeting.
Yeah, that's a social link we should max, I think.
Oh, yeah, I've been meaning to check in. I just haven't had the time yet.
Yeah, so if this is a video game, your quest log has just popped up with three new quests to go visit Buck and look into your next vibe check. Miss Killings demands your immediate attention. And then Dumas has recently returned to the living, and you have the opportunity to speak with them should you want to.
All right, Hialeah votes for Dumas.
Stranger votes for Miss Killings, because Buck's going to be mad no matter what.
I think if we're doing a vote, I think that Lillian also votes for Dumas, because I don't know who Miss Killings is.
Actually, I mean, this is an interesting question. How about Hialeah and Lillian both give me history checks? Because you have been members of the gig for a while, so...
Okay, history
13.
Checks.
Let's see if you do know anything about her.
11.
So you know quite a lot of the guests that come through here. You have heard, perhaps, maybe of Miss Killings, but you have never seen her before. If this is somebody who stays at the hotel, they are presumably then a pretty private person. Lillian, you have never seen them at any one of your shows, for example. Hialeah, no one has ever come to the church that you sometimes worship at or anything like that. You have no notes on this person. They have not made their presence known to you before.
If this person doesn't respect my style, then I have no use for them.
Yeah.
I only want fans or strangers. Come on.
Whoa!
Counterpoint.
You got a stranger at a party.
Yeah. Counterpoint, Miss Hialeah. New person you have no notes on. Could be an interesting story. Seems to need us desperately for whatever reason.
I think you're outvoted 2-1, Pumpkin Man. So unless you want to split the party, I'm going. Bye.
Yeah, we gotta go check on Dumas.
Stranger will acquiesce, but he does say, I'm not really sure if we need to meet them now. It seems like we have two more pressing matters, but we are a team.
Quinn and I were talking about this recently in RPG design, where players tend to get attached to the first things they see. Whoever the romanceable character is introduced first is always the most romanced and so forth. So I feel like Quinn designed this RPG for us to check on this doppelganger. They're going to get very sad.
It's just I feel like this probably won't take too long.
Oh, well, we're going to find out. You guys are going to head over to the big spiral staircase that exists in the gig and kind of starts in above, and then the staircase just kind of spirals down further and further into the below part, where things get a little fishier, wetter, and a little bit more crude. And nearby, you can see an individual with pale white skin and pale white hair who is kind of sitting nervously and awkwardly to themselves just nearby. I'm putting a picture to chat in case you haven't seen what a changeling looks like in D&D 5e, but they are essentially humanoid-like individuals who have zero sort of pigmentation to their skin or their hair, and maybe a little bit of shadow around the eyes.
Oh, hey, it's my skin tone.
Yeah, this character goes out to the sun for a few minutes, and then it all starts exploding and boiling off.
Hialeah is leading the charge. She just walks up and says in common, "Hello, I'm Big Papa Hialeah. This is Lillian and Stranger. We saved you from the mind zone. What's up?"
Oh, well, I guess I don't need to do the voice anymore.
You can if you want. It's fun.
Oh.
I
don't want to make anyone mad, though. I'm sorry. Did I offend anybody already?
No.
Is this Quinn? Quinn, is this you?
So we wanted, we were coming over here, Dumas, because we wanted to check on how you're adjusting. I know you just came back very recently.
It's kind of weird being back. I don't remember really being dead. And I feel like I was an inconvenience to everybody because you had to bring me back. And I haven't talked to Harper because I feel like he's going to be really mad. And kind of hyperventilating a little bit. Do you think I should deal with what should I do first?
Stranger looks over the side of the spiral staircase and just idly comments, "Oh, it becomes a water slide halfway down."
I think you should talk to the guy whose brother you were pretending to be. That feels like first thing. Just smooth that one over one way or the other, because it's going to get so awkward with that. Just kind of, it's a big, you know, I haven't personally impersonated anyone's brother for a long time. I feel like that is probably something you want to get taken care of right away. Just nip that one in the bud.
Best not to delay. You already know him well enough. Shouldn't be too hard for you.
Just, I do think I agree on that. And you know, the longer you avoid it, the more it becomes like a farcical sitcom thing where you keep avoiding each other and then it just becomes more awkward.
Maybe that'd be charming, though. Like, every time I see him, I hide behind, like, a potted plant or something and try not to knock it over.
No.
I can tell you how that ends. And it involves knocking over an urn, and then, I don't know, the curse of the mummy comes and gets you.
Oh god, are there mummies here?
No, the humidity really messes with them. This is a mummy-free zone, luckily.
Wait, so you all brought me back?
I think it was mostly a big snake, I think, is what happens.
Hold on, a quick question. I guess because we were talking to, like, the dead remains of you, do you not quite remember what happened when we came and did our little vibe check?
No, I was in my room and then I smelled smoke and pain. And then I'm here. And
you smelled pain, or is that a separate thought?
It was a lot of tangential reactions going on. I was lit on fire in my room, I think. So I didn't really have, like, a great expression, I guess, but it hurt. Is that good? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you.
No, it's fine. Like, there's so many ways to describe being in pain. You, like, just, you're the one who died. You can describe it however you want.
Live your truth, girlfriend. Z-snap.
You just say Z-snap, huh?
I've only got one hand.
Oh, what the fuck is up with your body, bro?
if you brought me back, why?
No, listen, here, we are vibe checkers under the tutelage of, what was it, Speaker Mox?
Speaker Mox, yep.
Under the tutelage of Speaker Mox, and we are here to make sure that everyone that can be brought back, like, it is brought back, because this is where it happens, and, like, I know that there were some circumstances that complicated things, but, like, you're, like, Harper did really want to get you, like, you back, and, like, you know, you deserve a second chance.
Yeah. Okay. I can do that. I can like be 100 times better than the little weirdo I was before, right? Cause like I'm somewhere different now and like people won't be mean to me here, right?
You could be 100 times better or 100 times weirder. That would also be acceptable, I feel like.
Well, I kinda feel like a burden. Just like being here and not contributing anything, but I don't know how to help.
I do believe most of us chip in some way to help around here. I'm sure, like, if you asked around, people would have things you need to do. And I know Park runs this place.
If I might make a suggestion, Lillian, you're regularly putting on shows in the theater here, yes?
Yes, I am. My one fay plays.
And Dumas, you have, let's say, experience acting, if in an unconventional way to the normal definition?
I guess, if that's what you call pretending to be people for a while.
That is what acting is, yes. Shall I connect the dots, or...
Lillian has this expression on their face that is just like... They legitimately hadn't made this connection until you started putting the dots together, and Faye is just like, oh, okay. Yeah, like, Dumas, if you ever wanted to join me in my acting endeavors, I've got, like, a pretty steady thing going on in the lounge area that the gig has set up.
It wouldn't be, like, a burden to you to, like, have someone who's not confident in acting act alongside you? Because you seem really talented and good. This feels like a high schooler suddenly like doing a scene with Willem Dafoe. Like this is big time. This is a really good actor, right?
Didn't you convince someone you were their brother for years?
Yeah, but Harper's kind of very
careful.
Gullible. I think he would have believed anybody was his brother if they just looked like him long enough.
Okay, well
he's a good soul. He's very trusting.
Listen. I've worked with people of all skill levels and like all levels of confidence back at home. Like we had like junior productions. We had like trained like year like famous thespians. We had people who hadn't acted a day in their lives. I can make this work.
Famous lesbians, definitely. I was listening. What are we leaving?
Also famous lesbians, yes, who were thespians.
Well, if you're okay with that, then yeah, I'd love to be a part of your show, and I can help you set up props and make programs, and I could be an usher. I don't know, what are other things theater people do? I can make a mask that's happy and one that's really sad.
Oh, that's always appreciated. We love the theater masks here.
How are your tragic soliloquies?
Mid. but I can get better. I mean, I should. You all brought me back, so I feel like I should really put my all into something. Finally,
you'll have people sobbing in no time.
I can find a play that could get you started off something good for beginners and something that will get you started on stretching those actin muscles in a professional sense instead of a subterfuge sense.
Wow. Are all of you like really great artists like Lillian is?
I am, yeah. I mean, I would say Lillian is a great artist kind of the way I am.
Oh.
Haven't you like published a bunch of books or something?
Some would say books, other would say, you know, masterpieces, you know, kind of defining works of the ages, you know, things of this nature. Books is a little reductive, you know, tomes maybe.
I've been meaning to ask you, Hialeah, is it at all uncomfortable for you to work with paper?
That's a great question.
are you using mostly goat skin or have you just sort of just gotten used to it?
Yeah, I think I mostly work in vellum that's a normal for treants. So it's a animal skin. It's kind of we did a reverse on you. It was a uno no you situation.
I see.
Have I actually previously established anything about the scrolls? I feel like it's very funny that they're all skin.
I don't believe you have, no.
Okay, yeah, they're all vellum, which is an old-timey animal skin. So that's funny.
That feels right in Austin's wheelhouse as well. The older the scroll, the better. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it sounds like Lillian has invited Dumas to join Fair Shows.
and has given her some direction. You've encouraged Dumas to go speak to their brother, or the person they pretended to be brothers with. So some momentum has been placed, and we will see how that goes. What would the party like to do next?
We gotta go see Mrs. Killings.
We gotta see Miss Killings, especially because we outvoted Stranger. I think it's only fair that we do that next, and not because I'm kind of worried about meeting someone who seems to be very mad about everyone all the time.
Is that something you're okay with, Stranger? Are you down for this? I think it'd be wild if you suddenly were like, actually, I don't want to see Miss Killings now.
Well, I don't want to get Buck too mad, or else he might just kill us outright. Yeah, sure, let's go see Miss Killings. What's the worst he could do? Kill us? Well, yes, actually, but and also maybe something worse. There are fates worse than death.
Ominous.
All right, you are going to go and find the room of Miss Killings. Parks is able to provide you with that information fairly easily, and you find in the gig... room 404.
No, it's not found.
Yeah.
Stranger will knock.
Who is it?
You sent for us, Miss Killings. We are the vibe checkers.
Ah, yes. You're late. And you're gonna hear a voice come to the door and open it. And... I'm going to put an icon here on the map. I think only Austin will know who this is.
This looks familiar.
It depends on how much you played Ace Attorney.
Yeah, this looked familiar. I know Ace Attorney's art style.
Yeah. What you see is a tiefling woman in about her early 30s. Her skin has a grape hue to it, and she is wearing a formal business suit and skirt. With thin eyeglasses and a prominent red flame, and she has a clipboard with her, and a small animal yapping at her feet.
I do apologize for our lateness. We were told at our earliest convenience. I did not realize you had a schedule to keep.
Everything is about a schedule. That robot down there is a mess and couldn't keep anything in order if he tried.
Also, he's racist.
He's not...
It's not his fault. He was built old-fashioned.
He was built an old man.
What's the animal?
Hialeah wants to know the animal. If you look down, you see a small, fluffy creature with little tiny paws and little tiny tail. But its neck keeps going up and up and up until it finally reaches the top, and there's a little tiny dog face there. That is panting happily at the sight of new visitors.
Stranger's crow caws at it aggressively. Doesn't like it. Doesn't like it at all.
This is, of course, a palm Iranian.
Yes. Yes, animal handling check. 18.
This dog loves you. It's like, and it's running around your legs. It wants to run through your legs. It's confused that there's no like hole in the middle of you to run in between. But it is bouncing happily over all of your like extended roots and just having a good old time. It tries to claw up you a little bit, not like in a painful way, but just like, pay attention to me. I love you. You're a big tree. I love trees. I love peeing on trees. Can I pee on you?
Not inside. Come on.
Miss Killings will just kind of look at the animal annoyed and be like, apologies, the thing is not trained particularly well.
I'll take it.
No.
You can't just take someone's dog, Hialeah.
If you're big enough, you can. I think you'd be surprised what you could get away with.
Do you truly want it?
We're feeling each other out. I get rolled really high, so we're digging each other's vibe right now. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, well, if you decide you want to keep digging its vibe, then it would be one less stress in my life that you are more than welcome to.
You seem fun.
I'm very fun. And at that point, she is going to kind of like flick her wrist, and a quill made of fire will appear. And she is going to start writing things into her clipboard. And she's like, are we through wasting time? Can we get along with what we're here for?
I think you'd be surprised by how much time we could waste, but go along.
Delightful. I need to be moved to the front of the queue immediately.
That's nice.
I don't believe... Well, I guess this is the question. Who is determining this queue and controlling it? Because as of thus far, it's just been Park saying you have a guy to go talk to.
I mean, yeah, that is kind of a thing that you would probably need to discuss further with either Parks or Mox, who seem to be the two people who have an ear on this. But that is your impression so far, is there's a list somewhere, right?
Yeah, I don't want to insult Park, but Mox seems like maybe he would know more about like the list specifically. But also at this, like Lillian is like, why exactly does it need to be a rush order?
Because I have a schedule to keep, and that fool of a previous vibe checker threw it all out of whack, and I need to get it done immediately. I have deadlines to keep.
We are truly sorry for the inconvenience, Miss Killings. May I ask what your extenuating circumstances are, and I can see what can be done?
Give me a persuasion check.
Okay, I'm bad at that. Five.
Could I help in also asking like what makes it so that like your scheduling has to involve the person that you are bringing back, I assume that you're a very professional, like well-organized woman. So like is this like something that involves like paperwork because this person was like your business partner?
Sure, give me a persuasion.
Let's see, persuasion. Whoa.
That's a botch.
That's a botch.
With a plus six, that's a botch at seven.
So to your questions, Miss Killings will say, is every person on this island absolutely incompetent? I don't need to tell you. I have a deadline to keep. That should be enough. Most people will be happy to wait here 1,000 more days. It doesn't matter. I have a deadline. I need to go now. It was through the incompetence of the previous vibe checker that I'm already not on my way.
Stranger just smiles politely and says, we understand your distress. I will see what we can do about the situation. And then just turns and leaves.
Yeah, I don't know if we leave the room before we have the rest of this conversation.
Yeah, Lillian will from that botch, like awkwardly bow out of the room, like a very deep bow because they're dramatic, but like just like, okay, I'm sorry for wasting your time. Goodbye.
Last thing you'll hear is Miss Killings just going huff and slamming the door, and the Pomeranian is still outside and it's running around barking, and you just hear the door slightly open enough for the Pomeranian to go back inside, and then she slams it again.
I imagine that was probably the pet of whoever she's trying to bring back. I think we need to get a better handle on how this queue is currently running. As of thus far, we've just been given them by Parks, and I've had at least one person tell me they have a deal with someone to bypass the line, or bypass any requirements.
Yeah, the goth fish.
Oh, so you know of the goth fish.
I've seen the goth fish around.
And I could not get a single piece of information out of her on who she made this deal with. It appears we may have some sort of boss here determining things. Who they are, I have no idea. No one has told me.
I might be a little stupid, but I assumed it was Mox.
Mox quit the job.
Yeah, I will say, as someone who's just getting into the religion right now, Hylia is like, well, we represent the tree and the above interest, so we're in charge up here. And if we want to take it any higher, we'd have to appeal to the church underwater. So I can't breathe water, and neither can either of you, to my knowledge.
Actually, I can.
Okay, well, don't you turn into a fish and go check, bitch.
Well, I can't speak when I'm a fish.
Well, then, okay, then we were back to square one.
Unless you want me to still... Oh, you can't ride underwater. That's going to be difficult. All right, there's a lot of problems here.
Just we cannot go underwater and break the way that this, like, metaphysical season has been set up.
Point of matter, she is right. This queue, I believe someone said it was upwards of years at points. This is not efficient. People should be weeded out quicker if they do not match some sort of criteria. It seems like it's at a haphazard first come, first serve. That's going to absolutely benefit someone who can wait out the long years, potentially. The shorter-lived races might not be able to make that choice. Or those who cannot afford to be up here that long.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of first come, first serve. That's how it's egalitarian. But also, there's a limit to how fast people can find the place with the big snake. It's not like it's just a button you push. You have to go on a whole quest. So it can't go any faster.
The quest itself, yes, you cannot optimize, but the waiting in queue can absolutely be. You can gather preliminary information.
Yeah, I will say, as you know, my cleric level and my kind of character arc at this point, I feel like Hylia is dead set against anyone jumping the queue. I think that's still an option for the other characters who want to, but like, just where I'm at personally, it's just like, no, that what we're here to do is do the big tree of mind palace, and all the other stuff is like, you know, it's corrupt, it's immoral, it's like against what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and where Stranger's coming from is not that we shouldn't be doing vibe checks, it's that there are probably people that are waiting in this line that shouldn't be. Either shouldn't be there in the first place, that can be determined ahead of time, or maybe potentially don't even fit the criteria. Like, if someone did die of old age and they're trying to bring them back, do the people in the line know that? How long are they sitting?
To be clear, this is just something I want to establish because this might be a rule that people listening may not know about Dungeons & Dragons. But the strongest resurrection spell in all of Dungeons & Dragons, True Resurrection, does not work if you die of old age. So whether or not the well functions exactly that way is something that we will perhaps discover. But the idea of somebody dying from old age being brought back is less of a factor.
Yeah, I think off screen, everyone knows the rules in the universe. So no one's wasting our time with that shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that he still believes that there are probably people that can be weeded out for like.
Yes, absolutely.
If this person, hey, is a known murderer, do you necessarily want them to be? Do you need to vibe check this person? Like the vibe check in theory is the final step to confirm, yes, you should bring this person back. Not the only thing being done. That's his standpoint.
Just I think from Lillian's perspective, since Faye did all of the coming over here and waiting, I'm not actually sure exactly how long Faye waited. Probably a while to bring Needles back.
I think the wait is getting worse and worse and worse exponentially. I think if you came here before, it was shorter. But just the way that it's going to happen is it's going to forever grow, is my assumption, just because more people will find out about it as word spreads across the realms or whatever.
Yeah, Faye would definitely think that it's not fair if someone has to wait here for like upwards of like decades. And I think that Faye got a little confused, but ultimately maybe like agrees with like the ideas that Stranger is heading toward.
Also, I think an important thing is that like people come here and they can work at the gig to help chip in, or they can just like bring a bunch of money, I guess, which is my assumption about this person because they're just shut up in their room and I've never seen them the whole time we've been here. So like that's also an inequality that we could talk about, because like some people don't have to, for example, work in the theater like we just talked about with Dumas. But you know, theoretically it should be open to anyone. It's not just a rich person's thing.
But it also is going to favor someone who can afford to like just monetarily like just be here for that long, like has nothing that would keep them away from here. Since you presumably can't just, like, drop off the body part. And, well, I guess that maybe that's something that can be discussed. Can you just leave a body part here to be revived? Since, in theory, the vibe check is the final choice. Do you fully need a person here past, like, an initial interview?
All very interesting questions. I think if you want guidance, the only person who can really give you anything would be, again, former speaker Mox, formerly the vibe checker, who probably had his own sort of order in which things were done. And then Parks, who does seem to be sort of the point of contact for, like, getting body parts and managing the gig and sort of running things.
Mm. Yeah, I think that can probably be discussed after, I guess, the meat of this arc. So let's go find the stinky, I think that you said fungal. So I'm assuming a mushroom person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you guys are going to go off and look for Buck. You are given directions. Normally in Dice Funk, this is the opportunity where I would say, like, what do you guys say as you're traveling? But you guys just had a very intense conversation. So I can only imagine you guys probably continue debating the merits of the system and who should be brought back and when you stumble upon a large, I guess structure is the best word I can use for it. Though it bears no resemblance to any architecture you've ever really seen before, as far as, like, a home would be. It is misshapen, deflated at points, sharp and tall in others, and it is made entirely of giant mushrooms that are just growing kind of out of each other and out of the ground that it's built upon.
Interesting. Is there a door we should knock on?
There's a big hole in the front.
Well, forwards we go, and stranger's going to walk up and call out, "Hello, is there a Buck here? I believe your appointment has come to pass."
I'm thinking nature check just to see if any of this is dangerous before I just walk into a cloud of spores.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me a nature check.
21.
100% this is dangerous. That is why you were given gas masks ahead of time, and it is good to keep aware of yourself as you're in this situation.
Oh, yeah. Guess I should say I put the gas mask on. I wasn't thinking about saying it out loud.
Okay, so the comical scene of a tree, a pumpkin, and a plant person putting gas masks on their bodies, roughly mouth adjacent.
I put my gas mask on top of my masquerade mask with the bunny ears.
With 21, are there any additional dangers on top of the spores? I guess because, like, if I'm just breathing normally, walking normally, is that fine, or do I have to be careful, like, where I step or touch?
You would feel better not touching anything. You don't know if, like, any of these things will explode. You see spores kind of floating around in the air, and those to you don't immediately come across as dangerous. But you also do not think you would want to spend a tremendous amount of time here, just in case they do start to, you know, leave an infection or rot you in some way.
Stranger makes his crow wait outside of the spore circle.
And then you're heading inside?
Yep.
All right.
Let's head on in.
Inside, you see a squat little fellow. I'm going to add an icon here to the map. I'm going to make him real big because he's my favorite.
Oh.
It is a myconoid made entirely of mushrooms. Squat, a little bit round, and there are small spores floating around this individual that are naturally kind of passing by all of you. This individual has no specific face, but you notice as these spores kind of get close to you that you feel almost like a spell of some sort has been cast on you, and you hear a voice that says, "Hey, everybody, it's me, Buck, your bud, your friend, manager here at the Fungal House. How's it going?"
To clarify, did he actually cast a spell on us? Should we roll Arcana, or are we just high? Is that
That is a great question. I will say you don't need to roll. There was a great nature check right before this. This is something that's been established in previous seasons of Dice Funk, is how myconoids will communicate, is they will kind of spread spores that allow you to hear their voice as though they are talking to you.
Got it. Well, hello there. We're happy to be here in your fungal hut. Are you Buck? I presume so.
The one and only.
We are here to collect the body part that you've requested to be brought back. Do you have time for some preliminary questions?
Well, sure. I mean, well, hold on. Let me get that body for you. Don't want to forget it. And you see the myconoid kind of shuffle over to a corner of the room and just grab kind of a gross mass of canvas and flesh. And kind of be like, so which one of you lucky guys wants to hold this little number?
My arms are actually broken, so I can't, unfortunately.
The stranger will hold out his hands for it. He doesn't care. He's gross already.
There you go! And he's going to drop it, and it does land in your hand with kind of a wet sploosh.
Did you say canvas and flesh?
Uh-huh.
Is he painting on this? What do you can elaborate?
Not canvas. I mixed up my material. Burlap. I'm sorry.
That doesn't answer any more questions.
Is the flesh in the burlap, or are they one and the same? Is it a dark tapestry?
It does seem to be both. There is burlap, and there is just chunks of flesh of some kind. Certainly, yeah.
Okay, so is this a sack of meat? Because I thought he skinned someone and stitched it into a canvas to paint on. Stranger's gonna look at this and see if he can identify what he's looking at.
Sure, give me a religion check.
Oh God, everything I'm bad at. 10.
You do not really know what this the guy is. You're like, this is strange as remains, curious.
You said burlap and skin, uh-huh. And meat. Is this a scarecrow person? What am I looking at? can you tell me about who this is? And he kind of like, I guess, like waves his hand holding it a bit. I guess the meat sort of sloshing.
Hey, careful. That's my buddy right there. That is the remains of the dearly departed Popo. My good bud. Loved him. So much fun. He's one of the few people to really appreciate death the same way that I do.
Popo.
P-O-F-F-O, in case you want it spelled.
Got it.
Thank you.
I've got that in my notes now. What were they by any, what were they?
Oh, it was a Bodak. Have you ever heard of a Bodak before?
Dan has.
Sarah hasn't.
You have. You haven't seen one of these, but I'm going to post a picture here in the Roll 20, so perhaps it'll make a better sense about why it's sort of burlap and flesh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. He's kind of a handsome gentleman with a mouth the length of his forearm.
He looks like he'd be great at deep throating.
Jesus. Now he's why you want them back.
Yeah, I need him back for that. This is a good opportunity for Hialeah and Lillian, if you would both like to add religion checks once the name Bodak has been dropped, to see if you know anything about these individuals.
Yeah, let me see.
That's a 15.
I got a 9.
The 15 is very good. So Hialeah, you've perhaps heard of these creatures. They are individuals that are born when people who worship death are killed. A long point in time, they used to particularly worship one person of death, Orcus, who was like a demon lord of undeath. But now it seems that they can spawn whenever people with a particularly close affiliation with death are killed.
Well, this is paradoxical because at their best, Bojack are already undead. So we're like bringing back something that wasn't alive to life. That's a noodle scratcher.
I think actually Stranger would turn to Pylee and ask, do you know if there's precedent for this on the island?
For bringing back something that was undead? I can roll for history.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm curious too if I could also do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
18.
Another fucking crit fail.
You're not. You have to be saying I'm going to use the lucky rabbit so you can get credit for these.
No. I know. You got to take advantage of that while you still can. So we have an 18, which is great, and we also have a botch. So I will say that Hylia has been here a little bit longer. You do not recall a specific example of something that is undead having been brought back, but you don't have anything that explicitly says it's not possible. The rules of the vibe check and then the well are both kind of a bit of a mystery now, but you have not heard of somebody trying to bring something back and it failing. Whereas Lillian, you would just believe logistically it does not make sense that that could happen. Like, how does something that's already undead come back? It wouldn't. This would be like throwing trash into the underwater wells.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really interesting premise for an arc, Quinn. I gotta give you props for this. I didn't see it coming.
Stranger is looking at the both of you very intently as you're going over what you believe will happen here.
Lillian's just like, I mean, if we put it in the tree, are we gonna get like white noise? Like what was happening here? Like I thought I wouldn't think that it would work like that. I hadn't considered it before.
I'm excited to find out what mysteries the tree can unlock for us. What beautiful paradoxes we can explore together. So I'm really thankful, Mr. Buck, for this disgusting flesh creation thing.
You're welcome.
You said you love death. What's that? What's about that? Just like theoretically, artistically, just like, you know, big cannibal corpse fan.
I do love them. I love a good cannibal corpse. But really, what it comes down to is rot is kind of my vibe, you know? It's just kind of how I get down there. I really enjoy it. It feels so good. And I kind of model my whole life around it. And Popo didn't maybe feel the same way about rot, but he did appreciate death very, very intensely, might I add. And I miss him. He's my good buddy. Very few people that I have met as chill as the good Bofo.
Well, I can appreciate rot quite well. It's part of a very important step in natural cycles. Tell us about this Bofo. If I may ask, how did he pass?
Stranger, do you appreciate Bofo D's nuts?
I'm going to burn this island down. There's not going to be enough left of you to come back.
I'm sorry, remind me of the question. I paused. I blanked for a second.
What good question. I don't remember. Stranger asked how did Popo die?
So, you know how most beings that are kind of emblematic of death die? Weird religious people actually killed him. They saw him as an abomination and murdered him with a radiant magic.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I've heard of many such cases. I'm really excited to watch this whole thing go down because presumably they had some sort of point. So we gotta hear both sides. But
does Hylia say that out loud?
I think that was kind of an aside. We're just talking about soliloquies today.
Okay. Let me, there's something else I was going to ask about this. Do you have a plan for what you will do if they are revived? Do you intend to stay here? Do you have a way to help provide for Popo as they get back on their feet?
Well, so if it's my Pofo, he doesn't really need much to get back on his feet. Really just love to be around some things that are dying, if you know what I'm saying. And beyond that, I mean, I have a little bit of a pad here now, so that's pretty nice. But, I mean, we could go somewhere else. I could be convinced there's a lot in this wide world that I would be curious to see what it looks like when it's decaying.
Quinn, would you be prepared? Would the season continue if I just attacked, if I just planted my sword in this person? Just a thought experiment.
Absolutely.
Okay, so before I do anything next, could I just get like a little refresher on how my little mask works? Because I think I might have a misunderstanding of when I can use like the automatic crit thing that it has like attached to it.
So before a skill check, a saving throw, or an attack roll is made, you can choose automatically at the forefront to fail it. And if you do that three times, then at some point you could choose to crit on an attack roll or a skill check of some kind.
Okay, so I have to like fail those three rolls first before I can get my crit.
Yes, and you must intentionally say it, so it's not to be gamed by you rolling badly and being like, oh, that was one of them, actually. You have to kind of announce it ahead of time.
Right. Because I was thinking about, like, the impression that Lillian got from Park was that, like, Buck is kind of, like, a very unpleasant person. And the way that Buck is talking right now, like, kind of, like, gives Lillian, like, a dissonance. Because it's like, well, this just seems like a jolly fellow who's just kind of into, like, you know, like the process of things like decaying, and that's kind of strange. And Lillian is like, I want to do like an insight check on if there's anything up with this guy, but I do want to intentionally like
fail,
register that first failure.
Sure.
So I also want to roll insight, but not intentionally fail, because and the stranger will also flat out ask this if need be. Because he wants clarity of, does Buck and Pofo enjoy being around decay and death? Or is Pofo going to actively cause death to people? Because that is a very big difference.
Okay, so great question. Let's start first with this insight check, which Lillian is going to intentionally fail. Stranger is going to try to make. Hialeah, do you want to take part in this? Or are you just like, I don't really need to know more about the mushroom. Man, I've seen enough.
I do have my stone rune, so I always get advantage on insight checks. That's one of my things. So I assume okay. I should roll it, because she's always just thinking about people and what they're mm-hmm. up to.
Sure.
23.
Okay.
19.
great rolls. 19, 23, and then Lillian intentionally fails. So I'm going to start with what Lillian gets from all of this, which you're trying to get a read for this guy. And to you, you are like, hey, yeah, this doesn't really add up. Parks, that racist robot, just is profiling people. Probably just saw this guy be kind of weird about like rot and stuff like that and decided like, all right, fine. You know, like maybe he's just a weird little freak no one should be around. That's like the impression you're getting, is that Parks is just incorrect about this guy. He seems so jolly. Like, I don't understand why nobody would want to be around him, like besides the smell and potential poison gas.
Just he can't help that. He's yeah. a Myconid.
Absolutely. Whereas Hialeah and Stranger both succeeded really, really well. 19 and 23 are incredible scores. So you were able to glean. It's tough to read like body language from this creature that has like no face for you to like read emotions from and is communicating with you entirely in like a mental level. But you do get the sense that like this house is intentionally poisonous. Like you're wearing gas masks. You're here kind of warned not to spend too much time here. You also don't get the sense that this guy would care if you dropped dead right now and just became more rot for his house. This is not like a kind individual, if that makes sense. This does seem like somebody who is very specifically focused on rot and their rot alone.
So I guess the one question I'd ask, if we can get an answer to this, from these roles, do we know if he doesn't care if someone is affected by this, or if he actively wants to cause it to people? Because that's going
to... I will say he has not done anything to intentionally poison you. He has not, like, sprayed poison mist into you or anything like that. But if you were to stay here and your body got, you know, moist or a thing started to, like, grow on you or something like that, if you started to rot and decay, he would be perfectly okay with it. He's not going to, you know, try to save you necessarily or anything. He's just like, yep, ashes to ashes.
Okay, that's perfectly fair. That's all I needed. Thank you.
This is a big difference from last season, because Wendy McDonald will be like, fuck this guy, and fly through his brainstem immediately. But I think Hialeah is like, I want to see what the tree has to say. I'm all about the tree. I think my next great tome, my saga for the ages, is going to be like the song of the Banyan, and she wants to hear what the tree has to say, honestly. And I think, I don't know if she would admit this to herself, if a couple people have to get spored to death for that story, you know, it happens.
Meanwhile, Lillian is just like, you know, maybe people are misjudging this guy. And so maybe there is something worth, like, trying to figure out if the tree will even register Pofo as a thing that can be revived. And, you know, if he's a good guy, maybe he deserves another chance. He does have someone who cares about him a lot.
Stranger will say, well, thank you for your time, Buck, I will say. While this is not necessarily my purview, I can appreciate that we all do die and rot, and from that rot, new life comes. And he gestures to all the, like, the growing mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, that too passes in time.
Not in my lifetime, I hope. I want this to just keep on growing. But, you know, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for bringing back my friend. And if you should get stabbed and it seems lethal, why don't you come back here? And I can make you into a pretty good retaining wall for my dining room.
I think I would clash with the decor, but I'll come back and we'll try to workshop it. Thank you very much for your hospitality.
All right, goodbye now. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. It's been lovely.
Why does he need a dining room? He doesn't have a mouth.
He's a detritivore. They just absorbs it. You don't have to get fungus pilled, Dan.
Wouldn't he? I guess he'd just step on it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Or is that...
Do you not have a stepping room in your house?
I don't have feet.
Sounds like a skill issue.
Every couple of hours, you say something wild about your body.
Well, you don't really have... You have feet. We have feet analogs, not, like, real feet.
All right, so the party right now, you checked off a little bit of everything on your list. You have the body part. The question is right now, what do you want to do? You, at this point, nothing is stopping you from just going in and starting a vibe check and seeing what happens. But the theme of this episode has been a large discussion about how things should be run. And also, you were asked to allow someone to cut in line. So I want to, you know, pose all these pieces of information before I ask the party, what do you do next?
What if we did both at the same time?
Elaborate.
What if we put both body parts in the banyan tree at the same time?
Yeah, I think the conundrum of whether to let someone cut in line is interesting. I just think Hialeah is not about it. She just doesn't want that to happen. So I'm sorry that my character isn't interested in this spicier quest.
I think that Lillian, Faye doesn't think it would be fair to let someone cut in line. I also think, like, Faye is kind of stuck on thinking about, like, what did Miss Killings mean by, like, Mox, like, fucking things up for her? But, like, this is one of those things that, like Lillian personally thinks could probably be talked about after the vibe check, because it doesn't sound like a pressing matter. Like, it does sound like a pressing matter for Miss Killings, but, like there's also, like, vibe checks in the queue that are up at the front that need to be done, you know?
Yeah, I think a responsible adventurer would ask Mox about the situation and then ask what Miss Killings is willing to give us in exchange for cutting the line, and then we could weigh the quest rewards. But I feel this ends with a Hylia drowning Miss Killings in the ocean if we go that way.
Oh my gosh. How does Stranger feel about this?
Stranger does want to ask Mock, like, if he's around, hey, what did she mean by this? But he still just wants to do the Bodak because he has questions about what exactly would happen here. And he also needs to see how certain other things will play out.
Sure. So again, like, your quest log gets updated. There's a whole bunch of changes. You have this side quest in there, like, agree to take Miss Killing's corpse piece and cut in line, and you guys are pushing that aside. You're going to go ahead just with the list as is, and then you have a little note, like, side quest for later. Talk to Mox about the way things are and also ask what Miss Killing's meant about him. And those are your things right now, but you're going to focus on doing the vibe check first.
Yeah, in theory, like, we could just talk to Mox after this vibe. Like, I don't really know how much time passes in the vibe check. I don't imagine it's, like, weeks or whatever, more than a day. We can just ask Mox, and if this person did not pass the vibe check, if it was egregious enough whatever Mox did, we could sneak Killings up to next in line.
I like to think there's a montage of us going through our workday where we vibe check, like, you know, six people in a day, and it's just the people who fell over and, like, you know, broke their neck in an unfortunate stairs accident, someone who ate too big of a turkey leg and choked on it, just a bunch of boring ones. So, like, we can't, like, you know, we can get a lot of work done. It's just the season focuses on the real wild ones.
Yeah, I would be kind of remiss as a DM if I made you go through one. I was like, so this guy's name's Carl. Carl got a sprained ankle and fell down the stairs.
Yeah, he got a big splinter. Got infected.
He's a pretty good guy, though. I mean, his taste in movies kind of sucks, but otherwise, he's a pretty cool dude.
And that's the kind of ones that should be able to not have to get vibe checked. If it's just like, yeah, this guy was just like, I don't know, a dad of three who got hit by a bus.
To be clear, the reason for the vibe check is because the only knowledge you have to what this person was before you revive them is the vibe check. Somebody can come up and be like, this is my best friend. They donated so much to charity, and then you bring them back and, you know, they've killed 17 people by the time they get to the surface.
People could just lie.
Yeah.
That's true. Also a potential risk here with the Bodak we're maybe bringing back.
Yeah, I thought you guys would wait a second to see if Bucks was going to answer your question. Like, is this guy just going to come back? But everyone was like, all right, we got everything we came for. Let's go.
Oh, I thought we were getting, he wasn't going to answer anymore based off how it was going. Whatever, we can move on. We can figure it out from the vibe check.
All right, so you guys are going to head up to the Banyan Tree. You've done this once before. You know what this situation is like. You approach the tree. There's an opening that you could start heading into. And hi, Leah, can I get a religion check from you?
Absolutely. That's going to be a 15.
You feel very welcome as you approach the tree. And you feel almost like a little voice in your head is like telling you it's okay. Come on in.
All right, yeah, I'm coming in it regardless. Let me get up in those branches. We get rooted on.
Yeah, get up all in my banyanussy, as the kids say.
We put a root down. Will the banyan tree call me Big Papa?
I feel like the banyan tree is Big Papa in this scenario. Okay. Biggest Papa.
Yes.
Biggest Papa.
All right. The team enters the banyan tree, places the remains onto the pedestal, and once again, you feel the gentle strangulation of the banyan tree as its roots envelop you. Darkness begins to surround you as the world as you know it begins to fade away. Only to you, though. To the rest of the island, your words and actions begin to root consequences. Buck, the amenable Mycnoid, awaits the return of his best friend. Dumas and Harper reunite and reconcile with a big friendly hug.
and one resident peers inside of the banyan tree with desperation in their eyes.